What did Auntie Gloria say?
Well, Gloria was pretty composed because she really she spent some time with him on Saturday, and she wanted him to she wanted him to get through this phase, you know. And she saw this as something that has to be, you know. And she's pretty brave, you know. She doesn't want to put her sorrows on anybody. She's keeping it very much to herself.
Well, I started recording like 1 second ago, and I think we should just start from there because I think it's super interesting place to start. And, you know, it's a very sad day.
Yeah, it is. It's a monumental day in our family because Lee was a very important part of all of our lives, you know. He was a wonderful dad. And I took much more example from his parenting than I did from either of my two brothers, because Lee was a hands-on dad that talked to his kids individually, not as a group, but individually. He made them each feel as though they were the only child in their family, and I don't think you'll find the argument from any of them that they didn't get enough fathering from him. I don't think you're going to hear one complaint about how he treated his children and how he related to his children and how he looked at parenting. My brothers weren't as involved with their children as Leroy was. He was a natural born parent. My brother Mike was much more into himself, and although he loved his kids, there's no question about it, and they loved him. And the same with Paul. They loved their children, but Paul was always number one, you know. And the children, they accepted that. Six children, and they all accepted that their dad was very much into himself and his career and his business and, you know, everything that he did. But boy, they sure loved him a lot.
Do you want to? Sorry, that's the dog. Do you want to talk about? Hey, Mom.
Yeah.
Could you just? I think it might be Minna. Could you just like put Marlon in the bedroom? Thanks. Sorry. So, do you want to talk about what happened today, and then we'll go back to or, you know, how Uncle Lee passed away today, and then we'll go back to his parenting and then talk about his family and him being a parent with Bonnie Lee.
Yeah, this is a day. My cousin Lee is a year and a half older than I. He was born March 29th, 1930. Let me get this right.
March 29th, 1930.
And I was born June the 20th, 1932. So he was a year and 3 months older than I am. And he was 5 months younger than my brother, Michelle, Mike. And so they were closer as in chronologically in age, and they were closer because they were together like twins. 5 months apart is not that much. That's not much age difference. Although they were separated by a year in school. Mike started school a year ahead of Lee. So Lee was a grade behind him. And I was a grade behind Lee. So as young children, we were in daily communication. We did everything together. It's just the way we lived a block apart, and every day Lee would come over, and I remember from the very first moment I opened my eyes as a young child, my cousin Lee and my brother Mike were at the crib side and looking at me, trying to make out who the heck I was and what are they going to do with me, sort of thing, you know. And it was a pretty normal and I think very wonderful childhood because of those two guys that were in my life every day of my life. We went on an adventure. You know, we went hiking. We played cops and robbers. We the Cowboys and Indians and hit the kick the can and things that games that kids pick up on their own for their own self and their own entertainment. We pretty much didn't have to have any adult supervision. It was Butte, Montana. And in the early 30s, what could be safer and what could be a quieter, more wholesome life? We recognized that the world was ours. You know, whatever we wanted to do, we could do it. And our parents weren't constantly trying to figure out something for us to do or constantly figuring out what we were doing, where we were, because they trusted us and we were very good. We were good kids and we were on an adventure every day. And that's how it was with my brother, Mike and Lee, and Ray eventually joined us 4 years later. We did all kinds of things together, and Mike was the leader. He'd tell us what we were going to do that day, and we didn't argue. We did what he was a born leader, and so we recognized that, and so there was no discussion. We did what he said.
No, so tell me about maybe even as a child, but do you know what he kind of thought he might want to do when he got older?
My brother Mike?
No, Uncle Lee.
Oh, Uncle Lee.
I shouldn't say he's not my uncle, so I have to say that in the recording, but he is my cousin.
Okay.
But what Lee Rask would want to do, when he was a child, did you guys say, hey, I want to be a, blah, blah, blah?
No, I can't remember that conversation ever getting started. Our dads were both insurance men and very successful in Butte, Montana. They had one of the leading busiest insurance companies in the whole state. And Uncle Buster had so many friends. And my dad was not as personable, but he was an astute businessman, and they bought a very important insurance company and were partners in what was called Walcott Insurance, Walcott Insurance Company. And they insured, they had many clients, and they insured the Anaconda Copper Mining Company, a lot of their business. And that was Anaconda Copper Mining was a company that ran the copper mines in Butte. And they were one of the 10 largest corporations in the world. Even though it was Butte, Montana, they had holdings around the world. And Anaconda Copper Mining were clients of my dad's and Uncle Buster's. So for a period in their lives, they were very successful. And of course, we wanted to be like our dads. You know, that they were outgoing, they were stylish, they were great dads, and they were very successful. And there was no limit to what they were going to accomplish, those two. They came out of their small little community in Butte, Montana. They came out swinging and couldn't wait to get started in their business life. My dad didn't even want to finish high school because he knew everything he needed to know, he felt. And so he didn't finish high school, but Uncle Buster did. And they were well placed in a business that they both loved and very successful for a period of time.
Do you think I know you and you said that you guys were influenced by your dad. Do you think that Lee Rask becoming having his own insurance company or business rather was influenced by his own dad and his uncle?
Well, yes, that's absolutely true. I mean, insurance was part of our culture as children. And we were very aware of our dad's business activities. Lee didn't go beyond high school. I can't remember if he took any college classes I can't remember right now, but he didn't have any aspirations beyond maybe selling insurance. And my dad was the one who suggested to Lee to get into the insurance business when Lee was newly married and looking for job opportunities and career possibilities. And so Lee and Bonnie were young married people with a baby on the way. And my dad had nothing but suggestions for all of us, but for Lee, he suggested to Lee to get into the insurance business. And that's why Lee became what was known in those days as a life insurance salesman. It's the hardest thing to sell in the world, but Lee was very good at it, and he was very successful at it. And Dad got, this is in Portland, but he had already moved to Portland, and Dad got him started. He introduced him to who he thought was one of the best life insurance people in Oregon, Earl J. Knutson, and Lee hit the ground running. He was successful from day one. He was very good, very aggressive, and he had boundless energy when it came to work. Leroy, like of all of us, Mike was a very active and energetic person, and Raymond certainly is and was, and I was maybe average in that department, but Leroy could run circles around us because he had this boundless energy and enthusiasm. And I don't think he had a down day. I mean, he had just boundless. He just could not control. He wanted to do everything, and we did do, and he did do just about everything. He had all these children at home, and he never turned down an opportunity to go fishing, go hunting, go to go looking for a boat with me many times, and
go look for what?
This is a later on in my life. I was interested in water skiing, so I was trying to buy a boat so I could water ski. And my brothers, of course, would not go with me to look at this boat. But Lee, I could always count on Lee to go with me because he was interested, and he could break away, and he would go with me to anytime I had something like that I wanted to pursue and check out. He was the guy I would call.
And I mean, talk about that a little bit more about, you know, all the things that he might have been interested in that you might have been interested in, or like things that you learned together.
Well, one particular time when I did ask Lee to go, he had he had all six children at home. And I asked him if he would go with me to Oregon City to check out a water ski boat these people had advertised, and he said sure. And so he and I drove to Oregon City, and there was this man, a huge guy, and his wife, and she was a big girl, and they took us out on the boat, Lee and I. And so he wanted to show me the power of this boat and that it would be great for water skiing, although that day we were just riding in the boat. Nobody was going to try to water ski. It was just, I was going to buy that boat from him. If it all turned out, you know, if Leroy agreed that it was a good deal and it looked like it might be. So the guy took us out, you know, on the Willamette River, and we didn't go very far. And he said to me, would you like to take over the controls? And I said, sure. I hadn't ever run a boat before, but it looked easy. And I could see Leroy giving me a long, hard look about me running the boat. He knew I had never done it, but I wanted to try it. So I took over the boat, and I was putting it through some maneuvers and steering it and having a great time. And there and Lee and this guy's wife, and I was sitting in back, and I decided I was coming into the dock a little bit too fast, so I quickly decided to put it into reverse as we were coming in the dock, and I stripped all the gears of the boat, and I did not realize you couldn't shift from front going forward to backward, not on that boat anyway, and it was a disaster.
So what?
The boat... we were stuck maybe, 10, 12 feet from the dock. And it was just, the boat was disabled, and he was very angry with me. And
he was angry with you
because I had pretended I knew how to run the boat and I didn't know how. And I stripped all the gears. And of course, he said, what are you planning to do? And I said, well, I'm not buying a boat that doesn't have any gears.
Dad. Oh, my God. That is crazy.
And it was very quiet. We had driven from their home where our car was parked to the dock. So Lee and I rode in the back seat of their car, and all I got was dirty looks from both the man and his wife, because they got the boat back on the trailer somehow, and they knew the boat had to be repaired, and they had not sold it to me, and they were angry, and Lee wouldn't talk to me.
No.
And so we got home eventually after that, and Leroy says to me, he says, why is it, and I told him, I apologized to him for what had gone on and what an uncomfortable situation it was. And he said, yes, it was very bad. And he said, I thought that guy was going to kill us because he's so big and so angry. And he says to me as he's getting out of the car, he says, yeah, why is it your brothers don't ever go with you on these trips? And I said to Lee, I said, well, because they won't. And he says to me, I can see why. But he was always game. I mean, that was one of many times, and I would talk him into going with me on these searches for things that I wanted to do, and even buying cars and stuff like that. He was inexhaustible as a friend and as a partner to do stuff with. We did all kinds of stuff like that, and he was always available to me.
I mean, it's kind of amazing. It's almost like an adult version of when you guys were kids. You're having adventures, even though he has his kids at home. Like, you guys are having your funny adventures. I mean, I'm sure you've had so many of them.
Well, Leroy was always available, and I never could figure that out. If we wanted to play handball, which we did regularly, we played handball 2 to 3 times a week, Lee and Ray and Mike and I. It was Lee and I against Mike and Ray always. And we played pretty evenly. But Lee was always available. He kept all of the handball gear at his house. And he always showed up. He just made himself available to do those things. He was full of energy. Gosh, there was nobody that had more energy than Lee did. Oh, he could run circles around us.
And always such an amazing sense of humor too, even in difficult maybe situations. I mean, like, kind of like just an amazing disposition.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I think his kids would tell you time and again, that he was such a good parent and so solicitous of his children. You know, he really wanted to know what they were thinking, what they were doing, and, you know, things like that. He was a really good parent. And also, I think Bonnie Lee was a wonderful mother, too. They were destined to be parents, you know, and they were good parents.
And can you give an example of just some memories that you have of him giving advice or parenting his kids?
Well,
when they're younger even.
Lee always had a knack for, and it was from his dad, a knack for the one-on-one kind of parenting. He made his kids feel as though they were an only child, you know. Like, he spent lots of time with Rick alone and Michael, of course.
Doing what would they do?
I don't know how he worked it out, but he was one of those people that could make you feel as that you're the only person in the room, you know? That's just a gift he had. He knew how to focus on you, and you never feel as though you were competing for his attention. He had his full attention. And I'd love to hear his kid's version of how, what kind of a parent he was, but I'll bet you won't hear one negative thing about that. I would be surprised.
What I'm curious is your memory of what he would do when he was with Rick or Michael or any of the girls. Like what, like your memory is, like, would he take them to play a sport, or would he go in the backyard and take, have them swim, or I don't know. What is your memory exactly?
Well, he was an active dad, and he would throw the ball with his kids in the backyard. I can't specifically say that he would take a child and say, let's go play tennis. But I'd love to hear what they would say about his parenting, but I don't think you'd hear a negative thing about it. They each felt like they were an only child, you know. Rick spent a lot of time individually with each of them, and I'd just love to hear what they would say. You wouldn't hear a negative thing about it, but about him as a dad. I learned a lot from him about how to be a parent and let your kid have some freedom and yet know what they were doing at the same time. he had a knack for knowing if kids were up to no good. He would know if they're mischievous. But of all the people in our family, my brothers, Nancy, Ray's a really wonderful dad as well. And Nancy's the most wonderful mother I've ever seen. I mean, Nancy's instinctually the best mother I've ever seen. She really knows how to raise children and grandchildren. And Gloria's a very involved, very devoted mom. Every one of Auntie Annie and Uncle Buster's children turned out to be wonderful parents, but they had wonderful parents, so they didn't have to go very far for examples of how to raise children. I mean, they were raised by two of the best parents in the world.
What would you say are some memories that you have of Lee and his girls? Do you have any particular stories that you can remember, like from when they were younger?
Well, they did a lot of family things, and I do remember one time Ray was involved in the law firm, and they had bought a Winnebago. The law firm itself had bought a Winnebago, which is a mobile kind of trailer with living quarters. They had a driving, you drove it, and also you could go on vacation in it, like a house. What do you call that anyway?
A Winnebago. I think it's a Winnebago. That's how you say it.
That's what
I'm wondering about that is how many, because there's so many kids, like how would everybody sleep in there?
That's the question. Leroy got involved with Ray and his law firm, and he became a part owner of this Winnebago. And everyone in Ray's law firm took the Winnebago out with their families, like Vic Heffron and his wife and two children. And other law partners had a weekend or a few days with the Winnebago. And Lee was the fourth or fifth owner. And Ray had already been out with it because Ray loved that. And he and Rochelle and Andy and Sherry and Bonnie went numerous times to numerous really great places, even into Nevada with that Winnebago. It came time for Lee and Bonnie to take their six children with them in the Winnebago. And Leroy was not looking forward to it. It somehow it didn't quite fit. He wasn't adept at running that thing like Ray was. And then the question of room, where would they go? How would they do? What would they do? And the pressure was really on him to take the Winnie for a few days with his full family. And I didn't think he would ever do it, but I got through the grapevine that they were going to take the Winnie for the weekend, and I wanted to see them en route. So we didn't live too far from them, so I parked not far from their house on the day that they were taking the Winnie and beginning this journey to Eastern Oregon in this big truck-like trailer, and I was parked there, wanted to honk and wave to them as they were leaving, and what I saw was a face, a very unhappy face, in every window. I don't know that. I don't know how many days they lasted on the trip, but they none of them looked like they wanted to go, and nor were they happy to be in that damn thing. And Lee was there at the wheel, saying, "Why did he ever buy into this thing?" I don't think they lasted two or three days when they were back home again, knowing that that was not their kind of vacation.
Well, do you think? I mean, how old do you think everybody was? Can you just remember kind of like the ages?
Well, the girls were teenagers, I would say. And
that wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, maybe. I think that would be the age. The girls were early teenagers. And then, of course, Rick was the oldest. So he would maybe be 14, 15. And Michael would be, I think he was about 10 or 11. And the two young girls were Annie and Maria. They were, you know, young girls, and not at all. You have to hear their side of it. I'm not at all interested in camping. I don't think that that family, some people just don't camp. And I don't think that Lee and Bonnie's kids ever camped. I think Annie is very outdoorish right now. But she's married to a man that they do a lot of outdoor stuff, and they camp and hunt and ski, I think. But I don't think that that's how their childhood was. None of them were much into camping. I can't remember if they ever did that. You have to ask Linda. She would tell you. And I don't think Janine ever really took to it.
Well, I mean, it's not for everyone. No. I mean, like you said, like Ray's family, they seem to like it. I have a memory of us having some sort of a camper van thing. Maybe that was during around the same time.
Yes.
I'm very young.
We tried we tried it once, your mom and I, and we went to in the Salem area. I can't remember, but it was fun. For part of it was fun because the rest of the family was there, and Situ was there. And it was a lot of cooking outdoors, and but you were just a baby, and you couldn't sleep. So we were up all night long with you crying, and we couldn't whatever it was, you couldn't relax, and it was a foreign kind of existence, and not the most pleasant camping trip because it's tough with a baby to go camping. I'm not a camper, so that was my only attempt. Maybe your mom and I tried another time.
I think there was another time because I specifically remember a time when Wendy and I don't know if Stacy was alive, but Wendy definitely was, and we were at a campsite with everyone, and I'm pretty sure Uncle Lee's family was there. Lee's family was there, and Doug and Derek were there, and it was, I don't remember where, I'm sure someone could remember.
Was it there?
Wendy was eating some dog poo, I think, or something. I can't remember exactly. But I must have been older than her. And she was maybe like two. I don't know if Situ was there. I don't know. Probably.
Well, that was,
that could have been the same trip because I would have been so young.
Yeah, I think that was the trip. But
well, then I might have been like what, two or something?
Yeah, I think you cried all night. And I think that was the thing. You couldn't get used to that trailer, and it was not a perfect kind of trailer, even though it was just the three of us. It just didn't have much room, and it was not an easy place, even the easy thing to drive around. I was really glad to turn it back in again because it just seemed like so much responsibility, you know, and not that much pleasure.
And so do you think like Lee and his family and Bonnie had that Winnebago at that point, or was it something different when
No, they didn't have the Winnie. That would have been great for everybody if there was that Winnie there, because we could have you know, kind of centered on that. I can't remember, were Lee and Bonnie there at that time? I don't know if they were on that trip. I think it was Ray and Bonnie and Situ and Gloria. I know for sure Wally was there because he supplied the lures for Ray and I and him to go fishing, you know.
Wait, who did?
Huh?
Who supplied the lures?
Wally Robb.
So Wally was a fisher.
Well,
fisherman.
He thought he was, because he had what he called the Dick. He had the Dick Knight lures. Lure, I think it's a word. And Dick Knight, he had gone to special fishing outfitting store on Foster Road at somebody that he knew, and he bought these lures that trout could not resist. That was his version. And
that's so funny.
And so Ray and I and Walt went out to trout fishing on an outboard boat. And there might have been one of the kids with us, like Doug or Derek. But there were Ray and I and Walt for sure. And Ray and I were catching fish and putting them on this kind of lead line that goes back into the water to keep them fresh. And Wally wasn't catching anything with his Dick Knight lures. And he was getting madder and madder and madder because he had spent a lot of money. And he was so sure that he was going to outfish us. And it turned out that by the end of the 2 or 3 hours we were out, he hadn't got one fish hooked. And Ray and I had caught maybe half a dozen. And so,
that's so good.
Well, he was rearranging his pole. He inadvertently let all the fish that we caught out back to sea.
Oh my God.
And we thought he did it on purpose because he was trying to teach us a lesson.
Yeah, I think that sounds like Uncle Wally was maybe, you know, pulling the sly one on you guys.
Yeah.
Not that he would ever do that.
It would be out of character.
Really. Not his personality at all. Although that is really, really funny. So what was the goal of the camping trips? Like, or the one that I was on, or any of them? It was just kind of somewhere for everybody to go and be together and have like vacation.
Well, Sitra just loved cooking outdoors because they remind her of her childhood in Missoula, Montana. They did a lot of outdoor cooking. She could make coffee on a wood stove outside. She could do that. She had a knack for working with wood stoves and outdoor cooking. She loved it, and she loved camping. But maybe Uncle Buzz and Auntie Annie did camp a little when early days in Butte. I don't remember that. I don't know if there was anywhere to camp. Auntie Annie was a She just loved being outdoors and doing that, making coffee and being and cooking meat out there on on the outdoor stove. She really enjoyed that, and her kids all seemed to like it too.
We're kind of getting like a little bit low on time, but any kind of any more stories about? We're going to continue with Lee and his family, but since we're on the camping tip, what other memories do you have from camping? I guess that would be back in the 70s with our family, our extended family.
Well, That may be the only time that we went camping with him, but you think you remember other times, huh?
Well, I remember that
one time, and I could come up with the name of the lake. It was near Salem, and it was beautiful, beautiful, and the weather was wonderful. But I didn't like our camper bus that we, our camper truck that we had rented, and it was, and you couldn't sleep, and so it wasn't probably the best time in your life to take you camping, you know. But if you remember it, that you must have had a decent time.
Well, that's why I think maybe I was older for another trip, or maybe I only went with Gloria and Wally. I don't know.
You might have.
Because I really remember sitting next to Gloria and Wally and Doug and Derek and watching Wendy eat dirt, maybe. Maybe it wasn't.
Wendy would do that. She used to eat out of the dog's bowl at the house. She was quick.
Maybe she would like to speak on her behalf and say that she didn't do that, but I guess, you know, I don't know. Anyway, Dad, I would just like to go back really quickly and just talk about like the events of today, just to round out what's happened. Can you just talk about Lee's passing and what kind of happened this morning, just so we have it on?
Well, as we're today, and today is the 15th of February, 2021. I thought Lee would, my cousin Lee, who was a little older than I, he was 89 years old, and I was always kidding him. I said, are you going to make it to 90, which would be March 29th, that would be next month. And he said, of course. You know, he always thought that he would make it to 90. And
oh, Dad.
Well, he didn't make it to 90. He passed away this morning. And he had a very long, difficult last couple few months, where he was in bed for 24 hours a day and could no longer get out of bed. And so he was trapped, you know, in his body for actually months of having people giving him total care. A very, you know, tough life. And we all knew it was time for him to leave, but we didn't know how it was going to happen. And today, this morning at 3, his caregiver had taken him, checked on him and given him some water and asked him how he was, and he said he was fine. And because of the bad weather in Portland, none of the family had been in his house with him besides just his caregivers for 3 days. They were with him on Saturday, but not Sunday and Sunday, and today is Monday. Is today Monday?
Yes.
So I guess not Sunday and not today. And from Linda told me that it had been a couple of days since she had seen her dad. And Ray said he couldn't get there. He couldn't even get in his car because of the ice and snow. And so none of the family could get to him. And it's really the first time he'd been alone for weeks. And I guess that was his opportunity to, I guess that was the time for him to leave.
We're going to talk about this more, and I will probably start with this because it's so hard, and especially since it just happened this morning. But I think it's important to talk about his amazing life that he's had and how he's inspired us all or infected us all and our family. He's been super important to everyone.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
So that's kind of why it's kind of, in a way, even though it's so hard because it's so new, important to talk about him. And, you know, there's so many stories, and I'm sure, like, even if we talk about it tomorrow, like, you'll probably be able to come up with a lot more stories about things that you hadn't thought about for a while, you know? So we'll keep talking about it. And I'll finish this interview right now, but we'll talk about it in the next one. We'll start it with that if you feel like doing another one.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, Dad.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, love you.
Love you too.
Bye. Bye.